when Claire, sitting right there, when she was very little bitty baby, she was very colicky. She cried all the time. And I tried everything to soothe her, but there were only two things that would work. The first was pushing her in the stroller over the 4-mile paved loop at Ridley Creek State Park, you know, motion. And the other thing that soothed her was this finger. She loved to suck on this finger. I tried to find her every man-made pacifier on the market. I went to every store trying to find something else that would work, but the only thing that would quiet her was this finger. It was very hard to have a 4-month-old baby hanging off your front in a baby Bjorn with the finger stuck in her mouth trying to make dinner, or driving stick shift with this hand stuck behind me to keep her quiet in the car. At 6 months old, Claire discovered that she had thumbs. And I was like, hallelujah. She learned how to self-soothe her with pacifiers. And I had both of my hands free, and it was a glorious thing. The thing is, though, with pacifiers and thumbs, they are very hard to give up. Right? Any parent who's had a child who's used one of those can tell you just how hard it is to break that habit. It's both a blessing and a curse. But 4-year-old walking around Target with a binky stuck in their mouth, or first graders who suck their thumb at night, aren't the only ones who need to give up their pacifiers. We adults are pretty good at holding on tightly to those things that help us self-soothe. Only our pacifiers are a little more grown up. One person needs to mentally and emotionally prepare herself for her day of negotiating sibling fights and, you know, running kids around to after school activities and doing all of her errands. So she stops every day at Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts for her specialty coffee drink. And another person, you know, after a bad day at work, and, you know, most days are stressful, hard, bad days at work, they come home and they find release in a glass of wine or a couple of beers or a second or third helping of dinner. And then they follow that up by sitting on the couch, vegging out in front of the TV, polishing off a bag of potato chips. And another person who can't stand the arguing at home or the distance in a relationship that should be closer, you know, lose themselves in Facebook or bringing work home at night or, you know, playing whatever game is their addiction on their phone. So we adults are pretty good at finding pacifiers. And those of us in the Christian world who gather together to celebrate this strange, archaic season of Lent may even know what our pacifiers are, because for 40 days we tithe those things back to God. So we give up smoking or swearing or chocolate or TV or alcohol or snack food or red meat. And then we declare that we are ready to, you know, pick up our crosses and follow Jesus. To outsiders, though, it probably just looks like we are on some latest health fad or diet. You know, and at the end of those 40 days, many people feel a sense of personal accomplishment. They were stronger than their desire for soda. But I wonder how many people actually believe that that is a spiritual victory. Now, it's good for us to know that we are stronger than the things that we use to help self-soothe us, to fill that void. It's good to know that we can rely upon our own strength of self and at the end of those 40 days of keeping up that healthy habit, you know, maybe we'll keep on going. We'll be a better person, a healthier person to give those things up. But I'm not sure how much any of that actually has to do with Lent. A season that's meant to mirror, if in some small human way, Jesus' own sacrifice of 40 days in the desert. Perhaps one of the reasons for this is that through the centuries, we've lost hold of what Lent is supposed to be about in the first place. The season of Lent is meant to be more in our spiritual journey toward the cross than a simple ban on television. Lent is meant to be a spiritual practice in the church because in the centuries that followed Jesus' death and resurrection and the long time that we're in between his second coming, Christians got a little complacent about their faith lives. We got a little too comfortable with what we could provide for ourselves. And we forgot that really all of those blessings come from God. Lent is meant to be a time of introspection when we contemplate the many things in our lives that draw us away from God, who should be at our center. When it's a time when we're supposed to look at how these things, food, work, distractions, fill the place in our lives where God should be. And we should search out ways to be the person that God created us to be. So Lent, as Jesus says in the gospel, is not really meant to be a time where we make our piety public with long faces and fasting and let everybody know what we're doing. It's supposed to be an inner transformation that leads to transformed behaviors and commitments. It's like the pruning that farmers and gardeners do to trim off the excesses that inhibit growth, allowing the sun into those spaces so that the flowers and fruits can be more glorious. So what are the thoughts and behaviors that are keeping you from fully living into the life that God wants for you? These are the things that we should cut back, that we should give up during Lent. Or perhaps, as is a more current trend, maybe there's something that you need to take on in your life to help you be more fully the person God has created you to be. Many people will take on the practice of, you know, reading through the Bible, reading a little bit of the Bible, or adding prayer time into their life, or reading a book by a Christian author, or listening to Christian music, something that will help you refocus yourself on what God wants you to be doing. So both the giving up of Lent and the taking on of a spiritual practice are both the, you know, opposite sides of the same coin, so long as they lead to that inner transformation. Several years ago, for Lent, to live into this, I gave up yelling at my children. And let me tell you, that was way harder to give up than a morning cup of coffee. I didn't last 2 hours into my Lenten spiritual practice before I lost my temper at Claire for something that she did that was probably very trivial. But every time that day and over the next few days, any time I lost my temper or felt angry, loud words welling up inside of me, I paused and I tried to refocus myself on the person God created me to be, the mother God wanted me to be. And every year I do, I give up something. I fast from something, you know, social media or a food or whatever. But my real work is searching out those behaviors that draw me away from being the person that God knows that I can be. To search out those behaviors that will help me more closely align my steps to walk with God over these 40 days. So the giving up of Lent is not meant to deny the pleasures of the earth, you know, the joy of good food, the wonders of love, but it's meant to enable us to experience what's truly important about our life here on earth. So this Lent, I invite you to consider giving up not your morning cup of coffee or your glass of wine at night or chocolate, but instead aim for the transformation that will help you to be the person that God created you to be, living the life of blessing that God has dreamed for you and walking the way to the cross in love.